Thanks, Chacha. He's risen. That's our drumbeat for the day, isn't it? Well, today we open the scriptures, yes, but today is a day in which we see the very heart of the Christian faith, and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And it's his resurrection that authenticates what he did for us, especially what he did for us on the cross. And today, our faith in Christ stands for the fact that Jesus actually and physically rose from the dead that Sunday morning. You see, if Jesus did not come back to life, then our faith is useless. But if Jesus actually came back to life, friends, that changes everything. And just like it changed the so many who were in that early church. Jesus mentions 21 times in the four Gospels that he would rise again. And it didn't really sink in to his disciples. They were slow in picking up on this. And this morning I'm going to be looking at seven evidences of the resurrection. There are many, many more, but I'm going to look at seven very quickly. The first evidence is the four Gospels. There are four ancient biographies of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and they were all written by eyewitnesses, and they were written and circulated while many of the witnesses were still alive, and they could verify whatever was written about Jesus. And these biographies all say that Jesus rose from the dead. And these biographies also were supplemented by letters written by eyewitnesses, and that many eyewitnesses were still alive as well that could verify to that. And of all these ancient letters, they claim that Jesus died. He died by crucifixion, and then on the third day he rose again. And we have no other documentation of eyewitnesses to say otherwise. The second evidence of the resurrection is pagan and Jewish writers also reported that Christians believed Jesus rose from the dead. And there are lots and lots of evidence of this. I'll just pick one, for example, this morning. Was the just after Christ's resurrection, Claudius Caesar issued a decree for the people to stop stealing bodies from Judean sepulchres. That was a fairly complicated thing. Without realizing when he said that, he was confirming Christ's resurrection. The Nazareth inscription is a powerful piece of extra-biblical evidence that Christ's resurrection was already being proclaimed shortly after he was raised. It was a marble tablet. Marble doesn't exist, well, it doesn't get out of the ground, at least in Palestine. And it was 61 centimetres long and 38 centimetres high. And it was written in Greek language. And it was discovered in 1930. And no scholar has been able to produce evidence to say it's not authentic. In fact, quite the opposite. And it's an abridged decree of Emperor Claudius, who pronounced the death penalty in Israel alone if anyone is caught robbing bodies from tombs. Now, normally, someone who plunders a grave is not really after the body, but they're after the goods, the valuables. But this is about the body. It refers to the sepulchre-sealing tombs in this decree, and it's a special type of tomb only found in Israel. And this decree of Caesar is known as the imperial rescript, and it has the force of law. Rescripts were frequently dealt with for legal or religious reasons or a political thing just pertaining to a regional area. And Matthew records, we know that passage was just read to us, that the first response to the reports of Jesus' resurrection, the Jewish authorities invented a lie, we see in verse 13, that the disciples had stolen the body of Jesus. Their goal was to spread an alternative story and explaining that the body was missing from the empty tomb. But the Nazareth inscription is very likely a Roman response to the same problem. The Nazareth inscription forces skeptics, really, rather than looking at all different other options of the resurrection, it boils down to two options: either believing in the resurrection of Christ, or believing that his disciples stole the body from the tomb to perpetrate a religious fraud. It sort of boils down to that. That inscription directs us there. And the inscription is an excellent evidence confirming the truth that brings to mind Paul's famous words in 1 Corinthians 15, "If Christ is not risen, your faith is also empty." Well, the third evidence was Jesus predicted that he'd rise again. And it was not a random event. He as I said before, he predicted 21 times in the Gospels that he would die and by crucifixion be buried and raised from the dead. Josh Wilson highlighted last Sunday that the prediction that you would die by crucifixion is very significant because you don't have control over crucifixion. Crucifixion was a means of death reserved only for the imperial Roman authorities. And so Jesus claimed that his death by crucifixion and his resurrection on the third day would be a sign, would vindicate that who he was and what he taught and what he has accomplished, in particular in his death on that cross. The fourth evidence is it was prophesied that Jesus would rise again on numerous occasions in the centuries before in the Old Testament prophecies, that the Messiah would come from God and die and rise. And there's references over and over again. Let me highlight just some of them. Jesus himself claimed that his life, death, and resurrection was a fulfillment of these prophecies. But in Jonah, we read that he was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. We read in Hosea 5 that there were prophecies of Jesus that he'll return and after 3 days, we too will be raised up. And there's parallels between Jesus and Isaac in Genesis 21 about how upon offering being death and being brought back to life. There's many, many examples in the Old Testament. But the fifth example or evidence of the resurrection is the historical evidence. We remember today that heavy stone, it was at least 2 tons, had been rolled away. It's not something one person can do. It was I don't know if I got this right yet, no. It was a lot bigger than this one. No, I'm going to roll it over here. All right, and roll it right over here. You want to just someone grab this? Thank you. When the stone was rolled away, it was huge. And when that happened, we see that the grave clothes, we have the linen cloth represented here on the cross this morning, the grave clothes were left behind. The stone had been rolled away, this huge stone. It wasn't something you could simply do on your own, particularly the women. The body of Jesus was never found, and the grave was guarded by Roman soldiers who, under the order of death, if they failed to do their task, they would be executed. They had every motivation to keep that guarded. And so the presence of the grave clothes is significant too at the tomb. You see, it was the spices and that were attached to the cloth that was of value, not the body, not even the cloth itself. The presence of the grave clothes are significant because it was the spices attached to the cloth that was of value. All right? Anyone removing a body for profit or mischief would have grabbed the body and the, you know, grave clothes, taken away, and at their leisure separated what was valuable and what wasn't. In fact, we see that the grave clothes were placed inside the tomb on that day, and it perfectly fits with the resurrection as a cause rather than a human agent interfering. The sixth evidence of Jesus' resurrection is his appearance. And there is, I started counting, there are 11 incidents in the New Testament that's recorded that Jesus would come back to life, what Jesus proclaimed. And these appearances were to men and women, they were to individuals, they were to couples, they were to groups, and one crowd on one occasion was over 500 people. The appearance was inside buildings and outside, in different locations, at different times of day. And he was physically touched, he was audibly heard, he was visually seen, and he ate food with his friends. None of these witnesses believed that Jesus would rise from the dead before he rose from the dead. And all of them knew Jesus before he died, and they knew the same Jesus. They saw him on the cross. They were convinced who they saw was the risen Lord Jesus. The 7th century Muhammad, in his writings, said that it wasn't Jesus who died on the cross. In fact, it was Simon of Cyrene that looked like Jesus. I'm not sure how an African looked like a Jew, but hey, that's another story. But the Jesus had a look-alike. But how could that happen after the resurrection when the disciples saw and touched and heard Jesus? There was no look-alike about it. And before the disciples saw Jesus alive, the disciples were trapped in fear and doubt, and they were anything but bold. And that Sunday morning, they were locked and barred the doors, and they were in fear that they were going to be arrested and possibly thrown into prison or even worse, being executed. And they were fearful, frightened, and terrified of the consequences that were going to befall them. And the last thing they expected was that Jesus was going to be resurrected. And they even first denied those women, those first witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. And they said the women were saying nonsense. Why is it then they preached the resurrection some weeks later against persecution and conflict and were prepared to die to be witnesses to Christ? Friends, the resurrection of Jesus transformed them. And except for the Apostle John, who was imprisoned for a while, all of those disciples died for their faith in Christ, that he was resurrected. And you don't usually see all of them die if it was to be a lie. It was so compelling, it transformed their timid lives to be bold and powerful. Well, there are some of the evidence of the resurrection. But Jesus' death, friends, was a joyful surprise. 2 weeks ago, you remember, we celebrated a bit of a Passover with the Last Supper of Jesus, and that we looked at the context of what Jesus was saying about himself. And in the Passover meal, they had a little activity. We didn't quite do that activity here, but the activity was that the children would seek out what's called an afikumen, which is a bread wrapped in linen. And it was hidden prior to the meal. And this bread wrapped in linen, like Jesus' body was wrapped in linen, was hidden, like Jesus' body was hidden in a tomb. And when the Passover meal came, the children ran around looking for this hidden afikumen, this bread which represented Jesus' body, and they would bring it to the leader of the meal, and they would receive a prize or a ransom. And there was great joy and excitement and chaos in this Passover meal. And I think that sort of puts us, you know, puts us in the light here, and that we do experience joy. That Jesus is alive, and we too are alive. Now, we're going to do an exercise. It's, for me, it's a bit out there, a bit risky. We're going to demonstrate the joy of the resurrection. And in this room, I don't know where they are placed, someone else has placed them, two missing items. Now, there's always joy when chocolate's got something to do with chocolate. And right now, when kids, when you get the word, I want you to walk around, run around this area here and look for something that you would think you'd bring to me for a prize. Now, the prize, and there's two of them. If you bring it to me, boys and girls, you get one of these each, all right? Now, mums and dads, you can assist the children. Now, let's say, how old are the children? Let's say under 15, all right? Under 15. All right. Let's go right now. Children, get up. Look around for something that's hidden. Look, no, it's not there. Something that is hidden. Looking, I was told it might be under some chairs. All right, there's a hint. Under chairs. Tokens, they are. Two tokens. Under chairs. Quickly, boys and girls, have you found them? No one has found them yet. Where's Ruth Nelson when you need her? All right, last hint, boys and girls. I'm told it's in these two sections under the chairs. Okay, go for it. Yeah, two tokens. Two tokens. I don't know what that, I haven't seen what that one is. This one's a made up one, is it?
No, I don't know.
No, I don't know either. No one's found the tokens. Oh no, we're in trouble. Esther, can you help us out here? There are two little token Easter eggs. We found one yet? Yes, come up, sweetheart. Woo! Come up here and get your prize. Jump up here, Darcy. All right. Well, girls, you have found something very special. And just like the fun and joy that the disciples found on that day, we can enjoy chocolate. Now, there's a certain grandchild of mine down here looking a bit grumpy. Don't worry about that, because every child here this morning is going to receive chocolate, all right? And no one's going to be left out, all right? Thank you, girls. Thank you very much. Hop down. I'd say everyone back to my seats, but I'm only talking to my granddaughter at that point. So don't worry, boys and girls, if you missed out. There's lots of chocolate and joy to come. All right, there was fun, there was joy, and that's just a little bit reflective on the joy that we have when we know that Jesus rose from the tomb. But what is our response to this mountain of evidence? just before Jesus rose to life again, the disciples were terrified and traumatized by the crucifixion of their leader. They were overcome by the whole situation. It's not like they could have taken on the Roman soldiers who were well armed, who were guarding the tomb. They couldn't have painstakingly removed the body of Jesus and unraveled him and left his body naked somewhere. They wouldn't have done that. It wasn't just Peter. It wasn't just John or Mary's or Mary Magdalene who put their faith in the Lord Jesus that morning. And we know later that day, Jesus physically appeared to his disciples, and indeed over the following 40 days. And they saw miracles, and they ate with him, and they felt the scars of Jesus. There was no doubt in their minds that Jesus had risen from the dead. And those disciples went from doubting and disbelief to joy and faith. And so, what does the resurrection mean for you and me today? Jesus' resurrection shows that Jesus has conquered his death. Jesus' resurrection shows that he has conquered your life and your death. Jesus' resurrection shows that he is victor over sin and death. And Jesus' resurrection shows us that when this body of ours wears out, then we're going to be given a new life and to go to be with God. And so, friends, what's our response? Well, two things. If we love Jesus, we just want to say thank you, Lord, and be joyful at his kindness to us. And then her second response is, if you have not yet trusted in the Lord Jesus, friends, today is a good day to know that your sins are forgiven. Today is a good day to know that Jesus has conquered death and your death. Today is a good day where you can receive real joy in life and in your own death in the course of time. And so, do you believe this? Can you have this real joy? If you haven't yet, can I encourage you to make the best decision of your life and go and put your trust in the Lord Jesus? And today is a good day to do that. You might want to talk to a friend who you've come with today and talk about that. And may this be the most joyful and best Easter for you. Let me pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you that Jesus died for us and is risen, and that he has conquered death, both his death and ours. And Lord God, we thank you for the clear mountain of evidence of Jesus' resurrection. Help us to be people like those first disciples who put their faith in Jesus all of their lives. Help us to serve you all our days. And Lord, today we saw the surprise and joy that those first believers experienced in Jesus' resurrection. And we just want to thank you, Lord. And Lord, today we too put our faith in trust in you, who has power over life and death. And all God's people said, Amen.